Great to be with you, Bucks fans. This is the Monday Morning Joe Podcast, Tuesday edition. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, one of the Joes typing at the website. This podcast is presented, as always, by Bill Curry Ford and Discount Garage Doors. The Bucks now 20 days from Black Monday in the NFL, the firing squad that always hits, as they nickname it, of NFL coaches, usually 7 or 8 get fired every year. Or will the Bucks fire Dirk Cutter before? I don't think there's a will he survive scenario whatsoever. Yeah, anybody listening to the podcast knows that I've been done with Cutter after the Bucks went 3-5 and their multitude of problems that led to 3-5, their third consecutive subpar, sub-500 first half of a season under Cutter. But one thing that I think is important, it's just been sitting in my craw, listening to fans on sports radio, reading commenters, hearing people talk, hearing excuses for this team. It's driving me nuts. The Buccaneers' mentality, the mentality of the roster, forget about the coaches for a minute, forget about everything else. The mentality of the roster is all messed up, completely messed up. When you play a team tough, and just think about any team sport that you have played in your life, if you've been lucky enough to play one, whatever it is, hockey, basketball, high school football, youth football, baseball, whatever it is, when you're up on a team and you're dominating and you're leading at halftime or halfway through the game and you completely fall apart, 99% of the time, that is mental, that is your mentality was weaker than the other guy. That's really just how it is across every single sport. If I'm playing soccer and we're up 3-0 at halftime and lose 5-3, yeah, there's something just wrong with the mentality of my team on that day. That there's no debating it. If you can lead a team for 30 minutes, you can lead them for 60 minutes. Or in soccer, 45 for 90, whatever it might be. Baseball, a little bit different animal, but still, it still holds true. And you look at this Buccaneers team, which of course allowed 25 points at home with everything on the line Sunday to lose 25-0 in the second half to the Saints. A team, not only had they beaten 2 in a row at home, not only had they beaten 2 in a row overall, but they had just beaten their ass in the first half of the game. They drop it 25-0 in the second half and get blown out at home, 28-14. And a two-score lead, two-touchdown loss at home, that's a blowout. That's an NFL blowout, especially when you look at the data on final scores. Now, the Bucs this year, they got off to that great 2-0 start. Against the Steelers, though, they completely imploded in the first half of that game. They lost 30-27 after a furious comeback. They even shut the Steelers out in the second half. Okay, tale of two halves. Chicago, remember the Bears game the following week? Did the Bucs man up? Did Mike Smith make some adjustments and build off losing that, shutting out the Steelers in the second half of that game? No, not at all. The Bucks walk into Chicago and they're losing 38-3 at halftime to Mitch Trubisky. 38-3. Okay, mental breakdown. Here we go to the bye week. And you know what? They head out to Atlanta. Atlanta scores, I believe, the first 4 possessions. There's a mental collapse again by the same Buccaneers team. All right, Mike Smith's gone. Yes, the Bucs were trailing 24 points in the first half at Atlanta in that game. Came back, didn't have enough to finish it at the end when, of course, Dirk Cutter didn't have a freaking play in his playbook from 20 yards out. He had to have Jameis run up the middle in the final play and then throw a lateral in hopes of, you know, come on, that's still such nonsense, it blows me away. You had the weapons, you had the quarterback, he was playing well on the day, maybe you get a flag, we've been there before. Okay, so now you come home, no more Mike Smith, you come home for Cleveland, and you come out strong, you're leading big, 16-2 at halftime against a bad Browns team. And now you're in overtime before you know it and needing a miracle to win the game because your quarterback threw an interception in overtime. So that's where that game went. Another tale of two halves for the Bucs. Thankfully, there was overtime. Then you're off to Cincinnati. You implode in the first half. You go to Carolina. You know what the score was at halftime in Carolina? Any of you remember what that was? Yeah, the Bucks were down 35-14. 35-14. Another tale of two halves. They come home for Washington. They play well, except they can't put the ball in the end zone. Get blown out at home 16-3. You go to the Giants. You're trailing by three scores early in the fourth quarter before another furious comeback. Sort of a tale of two games. You beat the 49ers, beat the Panthers, and there you go again. Another tale of two halves game against the Saints. It reveals a team with serious mental problems. And I talked about this before the season. I was hopeful. I was a little bit duped. I knew the mental problems were there. I knew this team was a weak-minded bunch. I talked about it on the podcast, other podcasts, with Ira Kaufman on his podcast. I said that the team, I thought, if they could get off to a good start, and I believed, many of you know that I predicted them to beat the Saints on opening day, I believed that the team could get off to a good start without Jameis. And whether that was winning one game out of the first three against that tough schedule and playing well, or winning two games out of those three, that they would then move on, take that confidence, that that early confidence would make the difference with this team and sort of fix some of its mental weaknesses. I really believe that if they could start fast, as I just outlined, that the team would come around, play more consistently, more confidently, and they had enough talent to march their way from a good start to a 9-win season. But I thought that if they got off to the bad start, it would be 7-9 at best, and they wouldn't be able to recover mentally. But the twist was, what I never would have guessed, is that this team would have had that benefit of great early confidence, have that benefit of understanding closing teams out with those first two big wins. And then even against the Steelers, they righted the ship pretty quickly in that second half. Again, shut out the Steelers in the second half. That's not a team that's been shut out in a half of football this year very often. But they just proved that, you know what, their mental weakness couldn't be fixed. And that starts at the top with the head coach. Again, going back to any sports that you have played, your team on various levels reflects the mindset and the approach of the head coach. It really does. Now, it's not 100%. Oh, we're a complete reflection of the head coach. There are plenty of teams that will play better than their head coach. But ultimately, on the broader scale, that's how it is. And there's a problem with this coaching staff. And I have to think there's a problem with some of the players because of how long the losing has gone on here in Tampa. And we can talk about what that might mean as well. Bill Curry Ford has this amazing deal going on. Amazing. Right now, buy a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Our good friend Sean Sullivan is the new general manager there. He is taking care of customers like never before at Bill Curry Ford in their 58-year history. And right there, you get a 65-inch TV with the purchase of a vehicle, period. All the details are at BillCurryFord.com. They're getting you ready for life. Who doesn't want a 65-inch TV? Getting you ready for the Super Bowl, only at Bill Curry Ford. We have a big ad on our website. You can check that out at JoeBucksFan.com or go to BillCurryFord.com and look at all of their transparent pricing, which they always have on the website. Excellent place to do business. And then contact Sean Sullivan. You don't need to say you heard it on JoeBucksFan.com. Everybody's getting those TVs while they're available, and they're going to be available for a long time. Fantastic gift from Bill Curry Ford. And this is a great time of year to buy a car. Don't have to tell you, end of the year. A truck, of course. Ford trucks are fantastic. Lee DeCamper has a Ford truck. The other Joe at JoeBucksFan.com. Check him out, BillCurryFord.com. Now, I think my dog sneezed in the background on that here at JoeBucksFan.com World Headquarters. I don't know if I was able to edit it out or not, but, you know, maybe he's as frustrated as I am. I'm a fan first. That's my deal. The Bucks know it. I don't hide it, and I think it's okay. You can still cover the team objectively or in an objective manner and still be a fan and still care passionately. And then this team has disappointed on so many fronts. I can't even entertain the thought of Dirk Cutter coming back. And you know what? I don't feel bad for the guy. Now, I know a lot of fans, you know, think things are personal or whatever. No, I don't have any personal love or dislike for Dirk Cutter. I enjoy him. I think he's an enjoyable guy to cover as a media guy. He's entertaining. He's interesting. He's feisty. All those things are great. But I don't feel bad for the guy. Look, he's reached the pinnacle of his profession outside of making a Super Bowl. He's probably earned $20 million coaching in the NFL. $20 million, 3 years as a head coach, 7-8 years as a coordinator. Yeah, that's what he's earned. So I don't feel bad about that. He can get paid next year, handsome cash. And he's been such a good coordinator in this league that he's not losing his NFL career. He can work as a coordinator in a heartbeat. I believe that wholeheartedly. He's one of you can't even count on one hand how many coordinators in this league have led three different franchises, three, with three different quarterbacks to a top 10 offense. Not many. Chan Gailey, I forgot who else did it, and there might be one more, but I don't think so. So Cutter can work in the NFL if he wants to, and you know what? If he adapts a little bit and he figures out some of his red zone issues, he might even have a high-powered, high-octane offense that could get him a head coaching job again. So I don't feel bad for him, but I care more about the team. No coach is bigger than the team unless you're Bill Belichick. And, you know, it didn't work out for Dirk. It's okay. No humiliation whatsoever. He gave it his best. I don't doubt that for a minute. Showed some loyalty. I think he respected the job. And see you later, Dirk, where I have moved on. Not going to speak for Lee at Joe Bucks fan, but out of here, Dirk. And it's just frustrating that it's not even getting better. And the mental issues are not all on Dirk. I can't put them all on the head coach. I really can't. But it starts with the organization and the players. And, you know, something's wrong. I think it's fair to say when you miss the playoffs for 11 consecutive seasons, there's a problem. There's a deep, deep problem. And I still go back to probably the most stunning thing I've ever witnessed in my life, which was opening day 2015. Major Wright gets flagged for a personal foul on the first play of the game. First snap for the defense. Safety Major Wright. And Lavonte David later comes back after the game and says, man, that one call really took the life out of the team. You know, it was a bad call. It made us feel like we couldn't be aggressive. I'm paraphrasing. And, you know, really sucked the life out of the team. It was the opening snap. And that's a captain of our team. And he wasn't a rookie at that time. And it's one little snapshot. And there have been others. And I'm not blasting Lavonte here. There's just a problem with the mentality of this team. Look how it performs. Look at the offensive line, which is taking its lumps from the head coach on down to the fans for its performance against the Saints, and they deserve it. But think about it. The offensive line that fell apart in the second half, and nobody's going to accuse them of falling apart yet still being totally physical and all over the Saints. That same, and you know, just losers of the physical battle. No, that offensive line that crumbled, those are your starters. Those are your guys. The Bucs don't have a lot of injuries on the offensive line compared to most teams in the league. Those are your guys, left to right. Donovan Smith playing for a contract. 25 freaking years old. Marpet, Jensen, Benenach, Dotson, that's who's out there. And these are the guys who imploded with everything on the line against a division rival at home. I mean, that's a mental weakness that permeates this team, and somebody's got to figure out who these mental weakness people are and really get rid of them. That's really one of the biggest jobs, I think, of this offseason is finding where these weeds are and plucking them and maybe making some bigger roster changes than we thought were needed. Now, of course, that can lead to getting rid of players who are valuable that we didn't need to get rid of, which the Bucks are very good at doing. It's a tough process, and I hope the new coach, the new head coach, is an expert at weeding out those bad mentalities. You know, it's a tough process here because it's not like the Bucks are close. They're really not, even in the NFL, where everything's close. And of course, the offseason line from the powers that be at one buck was, oh, we played a lot of close games last year, so we're close. Yeah, okay. That makes no sense then, it makes no sense now, and it didn't play out whatsoever. So that's really the tough job for Team Glazer, for Jason Light, if he stays, to get somebody who has real expertise in that, or to figure out what that problem is. I'm not signing up for that job because it's beyond me. I'm not going to sit here and pick. I don't know if Lavonte David is mentally weak or Gerald McCoy is soft. I don't know. I'm not really a big fan of the coaches that they've had overall, and I don't know if the tone has been set right. It's complicated. It's complicated. It really is. Not as simple as it looks. I'm not just going to start throwing names out there to cut, although we'll get there by the end of this season. I think some more things will become clear. I mentioned earlier about firing Dirk Cutter before the end of the season, and there are a couple of reasons that would make that valuable. I really believe that, and I think Team Glazer should be considering it. I want to explain that, but first, a couple of important things. One, the podcast and all of the Joe Bucks Fan family of podcasts are available at iTunes, Podbean, and Google Play. You can subscribe free, and you get a free alert whenever the podcast posts. So I know some people get frustrated. Oh, I don't know when you're going to post it, Joe, and all that stuff. Well, this way, you get a little blip in your phone as soon as the podcast is available, so you don't have to be frustrated. You just know. Otherwise, of course, you can listen to all the podcasts, like most people do, right at joebucksfan.com. And listen there, however you do it. We appreciate it on the platforms like iTunes and Podbean. Leave a review, good or bad. Always happy to get the feedback. And, of course, you can leave a comment right under the website. One other thing, Discount Garage Doors. This is serious stuff here. Discount Garage Doors is a fantastic local company. They started here in the Bay Area. They're now across Florida, 18 counties, serving private homes, businesses, all kinds of things. But they are the discount leaders, and they feature a free service call and a diagnosis. That's what it is. They'll come to your house. If you have any kind of problem with your garage door, they will give you a full diagnosis, and you can get the work done right there or shop around. They will beat anybody's price for the most part, a 10% discount with your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. And their selection of new doors is fantastic. And you can get 10% off those as well. Shop them. Go to their website, dgdoors.com. But better yet, call them and make your free appointment. 1-866-420-DOOR, 866-420-DOOR, 7 days a week, free service call. So you know what? Saturday afternoon, you got no more college football right now that you want to watch? Well, get it done on Saturday. Call them up today. Get it fixed on Saturday, finally, or get a price on that new door. If you're wondering, you know, doors are less than $1,000 for sure, depending on what you want, but there are a lot of great deals out there. Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. If Dirk Cutter is fired before the season, I think it gives the Buccaneers a great opportunity to look at Todd Monken calling this offense without Dirk Cutter over his head and seeing what it does and how it responds to Monken. Now, we don't know the influence that Cutter has had on Monken, whether that's a good thing, whether that might be better without Cutter. We don't know. But if the Buccaneers, and obviously they can't hate the offense, right? Team Glazer can't think this offense sucks. That wouldn't be logical. They're 10th in the league in scoring. They haven't had the benefit of a great defense all year. And they are number two in yards right now. So you can't hate the offense. And if Team Glazer is looking to hire an offensive head coach, a defensive head coach, if that's their best option, then you know what? Maybe you want to keep Monken. But maybe you have a better sense of Monken, the best sense, if you will, if you let him call the last two games and let him be the head coach, let him be the interim head coach for the last couple of games. and call the offense and rally the guys and see how they respond and let your new head coach have more to evaluate. I think that's valuable. I really do. Suppose they bring in Ron Rivera in here and he can't bring Norv Turner. And, you know, the Glazers want to ask him, hey, take a look at Todd Monken before we throw him out with the bathwater. We'll throw him out with the baby, actually. I can't hurt. I'm not lobbying to keep Todd Monken as the offensive coordinator here, but, excuse me, is there really any benefit to keeping Dirk around the last two games? I would say yes, for the sake of Jameis Winston having continuity within the offense and being able to do his very best within what he knows so you can best evaluate him and best let him grow to end this season. However, I don't think there's going to be any loss there if Monken is the guy in charge. So, and there's more upside with Monken taking over for the last two games. So I really think and hope Team Glazer would consider it. I really do. I don't think it can hurt a lick. And we saw what it did for the offense, for the defense, different scenario, but something to think about there. Now, the Bucks themselves, the team going into Baltimore, I'd like to see a strong performance. And this is a terrible matchup, though, for the Bucks. When you look at it as Baltimore is number one as a pass defense, they allowed the lowest completion rate in the league, less than 60%. That's not good for the Bucks, a pass-first team, and Jameis Winston is 23rd in the league among starters in completion percentage this year, guys with more than 80 attempts. That's actually down from last year when he was 14th, but his completion percentage this year, the actual number, is up. So it lets you know, hey, guys across the league are completing more passes. So is Jameis, but he's nowhere close to having improved at the rate of the other guys. And so he's 23rd in the league. And facing a Baltimore team, it's a problem. Or a situation that is not ideal, rather, for the Bucks. The running game, we all know it's not very good. And I think they're really going to have to be a little more innovative with the short passing game here, especially if DeSean Jackson is out, to be able to move the ball enough and move the chains enough to, the game's probably going to be close regardless, but I think it's going to be a different kind of game for Jameis, and I'm glad he gets that experience to go into Baltimore in cold weather with a different kind of defense to be faced and maybe a different kind of game plan. It's great experience for Jameis. This is why it's good to have these games, and I'm not the kind of guy who's interested in playing for the draft. Sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not. You can point to a first-round pick that you missed, but you could also say, well, if we had that first-round pick, then what would we have done in the second round subsequently in the third round, and maybe we wouldn't have gotten that guy, and it's a dangerous game to play. I'm all about winning, especially when you've got young mentalities on this team that need to learn how to win and break all the stuff I just talked about a little while ago. But this is a really tough matchup for the Bucks. And I don't expect the Bucks to win. One thing that I think that I know hasn't been talked about out of the game against the Saints, and it's important to mention, to be fair and to just look, analyze the Bucks and obsess like we do, I think the Bucks really missed DeSean Jackson against the Saints. One thing DeSean Jackson gives you, even with Jameis out there, is the threat of DeSean Jackson gives you some of those very easy first down throws that you see every game to DeSean Jackson, where he gets 7-8 yards on a quick out, takes advantage of the cushion, and the Bucks can take a breath. It's 2nd and 3, whatever it is. Sometimes he gets 11 out of it. Sometimes he gets 9, whatever. But those easy throws every game, which is what he had this year and last year, except last year he didn't have the deep balls, those add up, and those can break you out of funks. And, you know, they missed that. They really weren't capitalizing on that or even getting it. Eli Apple with real tight coverage on Chris Godwin. I hope he rebounds, because that was definitely a setback kind of game for Godwin. He looked like a struggling number two receiver instead of a guy everybody says is a number one. It's one game, good learning experience for him. But I think they missed Jackson, and in a game against Baltimore, without D-Jax out there, no, I don't expect him to play. You know, those easy yards, you want as many of those easy yards as you can. I just hope Jameis doesn't get hurt. I think he's going to be in a situation where he'll be inclined to run more. And more you run, the more chance you have of getting hurt. It's not a complicated formula. But I do think they missed D-Jack. And, hey, gotta call it the way it is. But, no, I don't think he'll play again. Yes, I think he'll be gone next year. And overall, do I think they'll miss him? No, they shouldn't. And there are plenty of weapons for the new coach to work with, and you know, plenty of opportunity to add more if they know what they're doing. Now, my voice is dying a little bit here. I've edited the podcast because I've been coughing a lot, just battling one of those things, as I'm sure there are a handful of you who are sick or know that it's coming or have gotten over it. So I hope everybody's feeling great out there. We are doing well at JoeBucksFan.com and appreciate all of your support. I'm not ending the podcast here, just throwing out a little bit of love. And, of course, remember our sponsors, Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium, on Dale Mabry, and Discount Garage Doors. Now, this upcoming change to the Bucks, I think it's just one of those things where, this year anyway, fans are really going to be excited about it. I really do. I talk to a lot of fans, interact with a lot on, you know, Twitter and on the website, but also direct on email and people I know, and get all kinds of texts during the game. You know, after the last two regimes, when you cut a regime short after 2 years, it's, you know, there's extra frustration. And I'm talking about Lovey and Schiano, because it's only been 2 years, and there's always people who think it was too soon, and always people who haven't barely even settled into the other regime and are just so disgusted that they have a franchise that pulls the trigger fast. And this time, though, I think all the fans are going to really be on the same page with more than they already were in the past, with a new coaching hire, and really get behind it because they know the talent that's on the club right now. And that's exciting to me. That's exciting looking forward. I think it's going to be an extremely exciting offseason because of the talent that's in place. Look at what was here when Greg Schiano left. Now, sure, there were bodies. There were some quality bodies on defense, but things weren't great. You had no quarterback. Receiving core was in trouble. You had, you drafted Mike Evans, but you know, there were issues. Now it's a different story. You have more talent at quarterback. You have more talent at receiver. You know, maybe you have similar talent at offensive line. Before the Bucks traded away all those guys, they cut Penn, they traded Zutah, whatever. But I think there's just a little bit more excitement, and the Bucks are going to have plenty of salary cap room. I don't know. I'm looking forward to what's next, because what's been in the past has been brutal. And you see Cleveland on the rise here, and that makes it even more upsetting on some weird, twisted level that we're comparing ourselves to Cleveland. I just want to run back to the initial theme that I had going here, which was the team being mentally weak. And I take no pleasure in calling them that. It's just the way it is. And one, I think, current example, other than the overall game, is the punt block in the game against the Saints. You heard guys in the locker room acknowledging how a punt block is, just an extra win taken out of you. And I don't have it in front of me, I think Dirk Cutter even said something to that effect, that a punt block stats show that it's, a bigger kick in the groin or has a bigger effect on a game than other things. Look, it's just all weak talk. It really, really is. The Buccaneers were leading 14-3 when the punt was blocked. 14-3 in the second half. That's not a fourth quarter crushing punt block where you, all of a sudden you're losing. 14-3, it wasn't returned for a touchdown like other punt blocks. The Saints got it on the 30. Okay, so you regroup, you take a couple of deep breaths. Okay, you let up a touchdown, you're down by three. that's going to break your back, a punt block, and you're even going to entertain the notion that it was some sort of special superpower punt block. It's just weakness, pure weakness. You were winning 14-3. Crap happens. Pick six. Is that worse than a punt block? Those things happen all the time. What about a missed kick? Those things happen. If you're the Bucks, those things happen all the time. It's all part of football. And to just even entertaining the idea that, oh, the punt block, yeah, come on. Come on, man. As far as the kicking goes, the Bucks are actually worse percentage-wise this year in field goals and extra points. I feel bad for all of us Bucks fans. I really do. It's a hard life. It is a hard life. That's why we have so much excitement going forward. That's why the busiest traffic of the year on JoeBucksFan.com, except for December 2016 when fans were excited, the busy, extra excited, playoff excited, and we weren't even in the playoffs. Didn't have, you know, we were out of it by the time we hit 8-7. But busiest traffic time of the year on JoeBucksFan.com is March. March. That's how it is around here. March. I just hope they can rid the weakness of this team. I don't think Jameis is part of that problem. I really don't. But maybe he needs just a better coach to get it out of him and to help him spread it. I don't know. I'm reaching like all of you are. Did I expect the Bucks to beat the Saints? No, I didn't. But not like that. You can't lose like that and just fluff it off to, oh, we played hard and we fell. No, 25-0 in the second half at home. Too much to endure. Just like so much of the other stuff that we've had to deal with. The film-wise, there's some good, there's some bad. Defense is getting better. There are positives there with the aggression. I've loved since before the season how Jordan Whitehead plays. And I'm looking to see how all these rookies finish up, especially as they get healthy and back. And Vea's got a lot to prove. I still don't get why he lines up so far off the line. I think we might see a new head coach put him, at least have him working in the benefit of an offseason to get him right up on the line of scrimmage and find a way to maximize his strength in that way versus the way he's doing it now. All right, again, as you can hear my voice dying, so the podcast is dead. We're calling it. Thanks so much for enjoying JoeBucksFan.com, for enjoying the Monday Morning Joe podcast, Tuesday edition, and we'll see you next week.